You sure are.
We're so good.
We're so good.
We're wearing our magic underwear under our clothes.
We baked cookies and jello with carrots in it.
And gave them to the old people down the street.
And we just finished our choir practice and lessons.
I'm reading my scriptures right now.
I spent 5 hours on my knees.
This is not wine, but the blood of innocent children that we're drinking. Did we say good Mormons?
Bad.
I think right.
We're bad at being Mormons.
That's right. Bad Mormons.
I don't have any willow statues on my fireplace mantle. Mm-mm. No doilies throughout the house.
No.
We don't own a trampoline.
We don't even have a piano.
I have a keyboard. Does that count?
Kind of. Cheers.
Cheers.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're confused, don't worry. We are too.
We are a couple sisters that like to drink wine and tell embarrassing stories. We were raised Mormon, but not very good at it, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mormons don't drink this delicious cake bread seller's Pinot that we're enjoying this fine, crisp California evening. Isn't it good?
You know, when it's kind of like hot out, so you want something a little more refreshing than a Cabernet, but it's not so hot that you need white wine.
But you still want it to have all the flavors you love.
Right? Like dirt.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of all flavors.
Sticks. Leather.
Pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Moss.
This is a good one. We give cake bread sellers Pinot
thumbs up
for sure. We're also trying to make sure that we review a wine every episode so that somehow we can write wine purchases off on our taxes. I don't know if that's going to work.
That's what our show is about, so therefore it is a tax write-off.
We'll let you know how that works out.
My accountant has not looked over the paperwork yet, but I'm pretty sure it's a great idea.
Hey Charlotte, guess what episode this is?
What?
52.
Is this our year anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
Happy anniversary.
Cheers. Can you believe we've been doing a podcast every single week for an entire year?
No, I cannot believe it.
How the fuck did that happen?
I have no consistency at anything, so way to go. Way to keep me on track. You're the blood and the tears and the sweat of this podcast, Mandy, and I thank you.
The blood of children?
Yes, absolutely. Well, this is a momentous occasion.
I know. Let's give, you know, who is really the lifeblood that we should give a shout out to.
Oh, our patrons.
Our patrons.
Thank you, guys.
You guys are so fucking awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
We wouldn't even be doing this anymore if it wasn't for you.
Right? If we didn't hear all the fun, positive feedback, or even negative feedback that we get from you guys, we'd probably be like, no one's listening. Let's just go. Mm. No one gives a shit about our shitty podcast.
But it turns out you give a shit, so we thank you.
Thank you for giving a shit.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's another special momentous occasion because we are kicking off Pride Month.
Yay!
Which I love. Happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, I never really understood what, like, Pride Month was about. Like, it's not like I wasn't like, why did they get a whole month? You know, like, I'm not one of those assholes, clearly. But, like, I was just like, oh, Pride Month. I never really thought about it because I never lived in, like, a city where people celebrated it. And, like, none of my gay friends seemed to give a shit about it. But, like, I've been more on, like, you know, different platforms of social media, and like my color line gave like a big shout out to like Pride Month, and pretty much it like had a really nice message because the founder and CEO is a gay man himself, and he's just like, you know, I give you all permission that if maybe you were not the nicest to somebody who was gay, you can forgive yourself, but you have to move forward and not be a shitty person. Mm-hmm. But you can forgive yourself for that shitty behavior that you had, which I'm like, yes and no. You should feel really bad, but you know, move forward from it and stop being a shitty person.
Exactly.
Which again was the whole point. I hold grudges and other people don't.
Well, like, you've never done anything shitty.
I've done plenty of things that are shitty.
So that's the thing.
And I feel bad for them.
I think the reason that it's a month is because like the different cities had it at different weeks, so it was always like Pride Week. Or at least that's how it was, like, in the cities that I've lived in. Pride in San Francisco is a different week than Pride in Honolulu. And okay. So I feel like that's how it just kind of turned into, like, no matter where you are during the month of June, some city will be having on a certain week, a Pride, like, day and parade and
I events. Really want to go to Palm Springs for their pride.
Oh my God, I think that would be so fun. Yeah, let's do that.
I hopefully it hasn't happened yet, and hopefully it won't happen by the time I get back.
We love Palm Springs, and we're going to move there maybe one day.
You know, when we're rich, when this podcast takes off, we're going to get a house in Palm Springs, mm-hmm. and we can go there whenever we feel like it, or maybe we'll move there. Who mm-hmm. fucking knows? I love it there.
Totally. So, cool shit. What's happening? What's cool?
I'm going to Mexico tomorrow.
Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares, Charlotte.
I have my passport. I have my vaccine. I need to take a picture. That's what I need to do. I need to take a picture of my vaccine card or take the card with me. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of all the shit that I'm going to forget to bring with me. I put the parasol in my suitcase.
How about instead of running off your packing list and making everybody jealous?
I'm sorry. It's what I do best.
Just because we're not going to tropical paradise.
It's going
to
be really hot there. Mm-hmm. It's like June in Mexico.
You know what I'm listening to? That's cool.
What's your cool shit, Mandy?
Do you remember the album Spend the Night by the Donnas that came out on Lookout Records back in 2003?
I probably have heard it, but I never bought the album.
Well, you're about to hear it a lot because one of the songs came on my Spotify on the way to work and I was like, I fucking love this album, and I've listened to the album twice today. I've already gone onto Discogs, put it on my want list, so it's not nice. A cheap one to get anymore these days. Right, but
never is.
Yeah, we're getting it.
Oh, fantastic. So
if you guys haven't heard the album, check it out.
And what is it called again?
It's called Spend the Night by the Donnas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's fucking great.
Somebody had referenced, like, a song came on Spotify at the salon, and I was like, God, I haven't heard this song forever. Oh, it was Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. And, like, it was, like, this... if you've ever worked in a bar, you could go ahead and never listen to that song ever again and be totally fine with that.
Because, or if you've ever been to the Beaver in Bellingham, Washington.
If you work there, you'll listen to it about 5 times a night, so fuck that fucking song. But she had said, she's like, oh, yeah, you know... I'd never actually heard the Neil Diamond version of it. I've only heard the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. And I was like, you know, I haven't heard the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes in a long time. Mm-hmm.
Fat Mike.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So.
I have a funny story about Fat Mike. Oh, yeah? I don't know if I've told you this one. When I first moved to San Francisco, I was working in Potrero Hill and at a grocery store, natural and organic grocer, which we shall not name. And, Fat Mike came in shopping, and I was like, I mean, I wasn't following him around.
He's the same guy who was hanging out at the Troubadour, right? They're like, oh my God, that's Fat Mike.
No, that's Mike Park. That's the owner of Asian Man Records.
That's okay. I was getting too confused.
Fat Mike is the lead singer, Mike Burkett, the lead singer of NOFX.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Okay. And then Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Got it.
So obviously the NOFX connection, I saw him come in and I was like, holy shit. And I was brand new to like the city, so... I wasn't used to seeing celebrities,
right.
Which you get over pretty quick.
Right.
But he was like my first celebrity that I saw. And so I was like, I wasn't following him, but I was kind of like, you know, peeking around and keeping an eye on where he was at and stuff. And just like.
And if he caught you, you'd just be like, I thought you were going to steal.
And just, yeah. He looks like the type that would. No, I'm kidding. But I was like, I was a hardcore fangirling.
Right.
For sure. And I ran into the back stock room and two of the people on my team, two of my coworkers were in there. And I was like, you guys, you're never going to believe who's here. Oh, my God. And they're like, who? I was like, Fat Mike from NOFX. And they both just looked at me and they're like, God, you're old. And this was back in, when did I move to San Francisco? Like 2007?
40. No, not no, 40. I was 30. 30.
And I was like, oh, man.
You are old.
Anyway, that's my Fat Mike story.
That's funny. I don't think I've had any other cool shit.
You know what? You know what else is cool?
What?
I've decided that I'm going to take up a new hobby.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going to buy a tattoo machine, and I'm going to learn how to tattoo.
I'll let you tattoo on me after you practice on some fake skin for a little bit.
Okay. Well, let's see if I'm any good at it first.
Well, yeah. That's why we look at the fake skin, see mm-hmm. See where we go from there. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting a tattoo from this guy. His Instagram handle is Greg Drone. And I've been following him since he lived in Greece. And, like, I actually went to Greece and I was like, hey, I'm in Athens. I should see if I can get a tattoo by him. Like, I could just randomly pop in and get a tattoo from him. Like, right. Duh. But when I looked him up to see where his shop was at, to see if it was, like, nearby, he had moved to Germany or something like that. And I was like, oh, it's too bad. It wasn't meant to be. And then in the shutdown, I'm like, I want a fucking tattoo. I have all the stimulus money and I'm gonna get one. And I looked him up to see where he was at because I was like, I'll fly to Europe to get it. And he now moved to LA and I'm like, fucking kismet, I'm getting that fucking tattoo. Mm-hmm. So I've messaged him and he said he put me on his client list, like he wants to work with me. He hasn't given me a quote or any sort of like drawing yet, but he said he'd move back in June, so I'm waiting to hear from him anytime. But should he never get back to me, I want you to mimic his style and give me a tattoo.
Oh, sure. No problem. Artists love it when you do that.
Well, I was going to say, it's not going to be the same, but it's a lot of like, for me, his tattoo style looks like graffiti, mm-hmm. like really thick lines, like spray paint, but then random like dots, like plate. Like, I can't describe it. You'll have to look it. So if you're on Instagram, I think it's Greg Drone, if I remember correctly, because I have to look him up in my favorites to find his shit. And yeah, his tattoos are fucking mm-hmm. sweet.
Sometimes you gotta wait. You know, people wait years to get them to see people they want. I can totally wait.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in no real rush. I did get my eyebrows microbladed. That's pretty cool shit.
That is cool.
We did a, what was it, two podcasts ago? That we were recording, and I'm like, oh, I look fucking ridiculous. And I took some pictures. Maybe I'll share it on Facebook. And it was the first day that I had my eyebrows on, and they were not cute. They were fat, and they were dark, and I looked terrible. But now they faded, and I look cute as shit. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, recommend the microblade.
Microblading is awesome. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what else is cool, actually? Hmm. This fucking sweatshirt I'm wearing right now.
The Liquid Death sweatshirt?
Mm-hmm. If you guys go check out the newest Liquid Death Mountain Water merch drop, they've got a hoodie. I forget what it's called, but it's basically like a neon 80s bat holding a skull. And down the sides, it's got skulls and it's got Liquid Death.
It's neon yellow. And yeah. It's bitching.
It looks like the 80s threw up all over it in a good way.
In the best kind of way.
So, you know, just a little, you know, we're not just promoting Liquid Death because we want them to sponsor us and give us money eventually, which we do.
We don't even want the money, Liquid Death. Just send us some cases of your product.
Yeah, that'd we want great. Water and we want sweet merch.
Yeah, sweet merch.
That's all we care about. So go check out their website.
Some more records.
Yeah, go check out their website. They got some cool shit on there.
Yes.
That's the epitome of cool shit.
I have something to repent for.
Yeah, you do. What's yours?
Mine is that I drank too much champagne before we recorded last week. And I was a little grumpy. And I wasn't very
engaged.
And I apologize.
It's okay. It's a good thing Erica was there.
Well, she wasn't. I would have had to get off my phone at some point. Sorry. I would have had to get off my phone at some point.
Mm-hmm. And talk into the mic.
I was writing a bad Yelp review for our terrible server at the restaurant we were at.
You did not.
Of course I did. She's fucking awful. Ooh. And frankly, I don't do bad Yelp reviews unless you're fucking rude to me. You give me shitty service all day long, I'm still going to tip you at least 15% and whatever. Like, I'm not going to, like, try and get you fired. But, like, or even be an asshole and ruin your day. But this fucking cunt, I was over her a lot. And, you know, because they, you know, bottomless champagne, they do have a time limit. And, you know, they try to make people not abuse it. But we had paid, you know, money for a bottomless champagne and we got it refilled 3 times. One, we got it refilled the first time, no problem. Second time, I actually had to go to the bar because our server just disappeared. I don't know if she went on a break or whatever. And again, I still wouldn't even been mad about that. So I just went up to the bar and said, no big deal. I think maybe there's a shift change or she's on break. I'm not sure. I just haven't seen her in a really long time. And these have been empty for quite a while. So do you mind? She's like, oh, we'll make sure it won't happen again. Well, she must have said something to the server. And I just said, no, yeah, I've served tables many, many years. I get it. People get busy, but whatever. And I was like, I'm not mad about it. And then our server comes over with fucking attitude and was just like, we're like, can we get another one? And she, with warm champagnes, fills them halfway up.
Well, first of all, she checked her watch.
No. That was... For the last one when we were cashing out, I said, and can we get one more round? So that would have been our third refill even though the second one shouldn't have, or the third one shouldn't count, so fourth one, because it was only halfway, and again, it was fucking warm. And then she checks her phone and goes, I guess you're within the 40 minutes. You know, I'm sorry, I just have to play by the rules. And I'm like, you haven't done your job. I'm just sorry, like, if when I was serving tables, I already told you this, but, like, I dropped off salads, and I was so slammed, I didn't have time to check back on them. And so when she had barely eaten any of her salad, when I dropped the check, I'm like, oh, something wrong with the salad? She's like, well, yeah, I didn't, like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, God, you should have told me. I could have gotten you something else. And she's like, you never checked back on us. And I'm like, you are absolutely right. I was so slammed, I didn't check back on you. And I apologize. Can I do anything for you right now? She's like, no, I'm fine. I was like, well, let me get this, see if I can get the salad taken care of. And I did. I got it taken off the check because I fucked up. For her to, like, not do her job and then pull that kind of shit, like, if anything, she should have been overpouring us because she already fucked up on being late on it, which, again, that didn't even bother me. I just wanted more champagne and my booze hole was dry. I'm not a fucking problem person, but I'm like, you're fucking rude to me. I'm going to write you a bad Yelp review. Sorry. Is that too much?
No, it's fine.
I'm not repenting for that shit.
You know what else you should repent for? Is that you've never seen Eastbound and Down.
Oh, I have not.
It's great. You should watch it, especially if you like Danny McBride. He's like the star of the show. And he plays his character.
Right.
That he plays.
His character that he always plays.
But it's great.
Which I love. You know what I did make up for, though? I finally saw The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses. Mm-hmm. I may have watched them out of order because a certain person who'd already seen them didn't put them in order. But that's okay.
I forgot. It's been a while.
I like The Devil's Rejects a lot better than House of a Thousand Corpses. I mean, it's hilarious to see a young Chris Hardwick be in a movie. but it was funny. And yeah. It was, I mean, it was good. I liked both of them. But yeah, between the two. Come on, yeah. Devil's Rejects is where it's at.
Oh, yeah, totally. I wonder if I still have my Devil's Rejects shirt.
Ooh. Sweet.
I should stop saying Let's switch topics a little bit. There's a lot of current events going on in the world right now that we should be discussing.
I've been working so hard lately that I don't have time to, like, watch the news or anything. So I feel like I'm way behind on everything.
Well, my new ritual before we start recording now is just to scroll through Twitter and see what's breaking. By the way, there is a fucked up video going around right now. And it basically shows a girl being decapitated.
What the fuck?
I think she's dead already. But it's like stuffed into the middle of a girl dancing. And if, I don't know, I saw the first part of it and it's super fucked up. Like a snuff video kind of a thing.
Right.
So
why do you do that?
I don't know. That was my, I got on Twitter to see what was going on and I saw that video and it was really fucking horrible. So just warning, you know, it's everywhere and it's like people are sharing it like crazy. So if you see.
Why would anybody share that?
Because it's horrifying. It's like you know, younger kids like, or I'm thinking of myself and, you know, Courtney and everybody when we watched like Faces of Death and shit like that. But yeah, it's horrible. So don't, like.
See, your girl dancing video fucking keeps scrolling.
It's horrible. Hopefully it should be pretty pretty scrubbed by now.
Contained, yeah.
But God, it was horrible. But anyways, so the current event stuff that I saw on Twitter, there was actually some pretty great stuff. A lot of it involving our favorite ex-president, the giant orange Cheeto man, Donald Jehoshaphat Trump.
Can you really call him our favorite? Because he's the favorite of nothing.
Well, our favorite train wreck.
Okay, there you go.
Our favorite train wreck of an ex-president, Donald
John? J.
Donald Jesus fucking Christ Trump.
Yes.
So Facebook announced today that the Donald Trump's suspension from Facebook and Twitter is going to be active for the next 2 years, which is real bad news for DTJ. Wait, good. DJT.
I was like, oh, don't you dare talk about Jonathan Taylor Thomas that way. Oh, that's JTT. Hold on.
And then kind of along that same, along those same lines, I don't know if you heard about Donald Trump decided, he said he was going to start his own social media outlet. Of course. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah, he's going to, he's basically calling it, I read about it on George Takei's Instagram link, but he's basically calling it the Save America platform.
Of course
and,
he is.
And he's calling it a social media platform. And so it launched on May 4th. And what it turns out it was just a blog. Like, you couldn't really interact or anything. and there was no, like, he was hoping, from what his sources say, he was hoping that people would take the link and then share it all over social media. Right. And that's how he would be able to, like, get back to his communicating with millions of people situation that he had when he was on Twitter.
Right.
So he launches the Save America blog. The blog, or the Save America social media platform, started May 4th, and it was shut down exactly 29 days later.
Loser.
And Vanity Fair reports Trump shut down his blog after a month because so many people were making fun of it, which I love.
That's fucking stupid.
But so, as everybody knows, he was banned from Facebook and Twitter. And he was banned for inciting an insurrection.
Absolutely, right? 100%.
But so he's got this spokesperson, this guy named Jason Miller, and this guy went on Fox News, and he made this declaration, basically this big unveiling announcement. So I quote, "We're going to see President Trump returning to social media in probably about 2 or 3 months here with his own platform. This is something that I think will be the hottest ticket in social media. It's going to completely redefine the game, and everybody is going to be waiting and watching
blog.
To see exactly what President Trump does. But it will be his own platform." And then he says, "I can't go much further than what I was able to just share there, but I can say that it will be big once it starts."
Of course. It'll be huge.
Wait, I'm not done. He also says, "There have been a lot of high-power meetings he's having at Mar-a-Lago with some teams of folks who've been coming in, and it's not just one company that's approached the president. There have been numerous companies. But I think the president does know what direction he wants to head here, and this new platform is going to be big, and everybody wants him. He's going to bring millions and millions, tens of millions of people into his new platform."
Oh my God,
it's so good.
Amazing.
It's so good. Yeah, so... It is a blog, and it's not just a blog. Like, your blog, Charlotte,
yeah,
is better. Like, it's a higher
quality.
Yeah, it's a
more engaging.
Quality, but it's like, the coding of the actual website itself was like, you could have gotten eighth graders to do that for like a school assignment.
Know what I mean?
Or actually probably fourth graders, what am I talking about?
The high power companies that he's been having meetings with can't make a better blog than me.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Oh my God, that's so good. And I'm going to say, like, I was 95% sure that you said Dennis Miller. And I'm like, the guy from the movie The Net with Sandra Bullock? Because he's a pretty Republican douchebag. But
is he?
Jason Miller was what you had said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently the blog, not only were a bunch of people everybody making fun of it, but it had almost no readers.
Right. Well, because, again, I don't want to give him any ideas, but you need interaction for it to work.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it probably had a comment section at the bottom, but, like, again, if you don't ask a question at the end of it, no one's going to respond. I mean, I don't know for sure, because I don't hang out on blogs often, yeah. But I'm guessing there's at least a way to interact. But usually that means you've linked back to your Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.
Right. And also, the Washington Post put out this analysis last month. So his blog ended up being called "From the Desk of Donald J. Trump." So they were analyzing the posts and the interaction from that. And as of mid-May, his blog had been shared to Facebook on an average of fewer than 2,000 times a day, which is a staggering drop, right? From his millions and millions on Twitter.
Well, again, just because he has very loud supporters doesn't mean he has a lot of supporters.
Right.
And I hate to say it, because good people died on January 6th, but it took that to wake up quite a few people to be like, this guy's a fucking monster. But like, yeah, we know, we've been saying this the whole time. Go back and look at all the stuff that you decided to skirt around and brush under the rug. It was never okay in the first place.
Exactly. You know, HuffPost, right? Of course. It's like a very, you know, super left-leaning, liberal totally. Rag or whatever. But they had posted an article about this, and they kind of turned it into a eulogy at the end of theirs, which I thought was really funny. it says, from the desk of Donald J. Trump was preceded in death by many of its siblings. Trump Airlines, Trump Beverages, Trump the Game, numerous Trump Casinos, Trump Magazine, Trump Mortgage, Trump Steaks,
there it
a
is.
Trump Travel website, Trump Telecom, Trump University, and Trump Vodka. Drop the mic.
Yeah, that guy fails at a lot of shit.
Well, he's failing at blogs, too. So he's
fucking failing at life. I swear to God, that guy can't live much longer. I mean, who am I going to make fun of once he's dead? Well, there's plenty of people. His supporters will live on.
Yeah, it'll turn into a new demagogue. Demigod? Right. Demi-loser?
Demi-fuckface. Douchebag.
Should we hear a word from our sponsors?
I think that's a solid plan.
I hope it's something good.
Wives 3 and 5 have you in the doghouse? Wives 2 and 4 experiencing Shark Week in their garments? Wife 1 just looking so much like, old wife number 1? Have we got the solution for you? Why not give Prophets of Porno Polygamy Chatline a call? It's a choose-your-own-adventure here on Pop's Chatline. You select the number of wives you want to chat with, sit back, and let the fun begin. When one of your pop wives just isn't cutting the casserole, push the number on your touch-tone telephone to switch over to your next dream wife. Best part? None of the wives on the Prophets for Porno Chatline are over 14. No nagging, and anything goes. The Prophets of Porno Chatline costs a nominal 11% tithing of your monthly income. But keep in mind, the more money you make, the more the babies bake. So call us now at 1-888-4-MORONI. That number again is 1-888-466-7664. Prophets of Porno is part of Heavenly Father's plan in 4 states.
And we're back.
Yeah. So how do I get a job being a porno prophet sex worker?
Pop wife? You want to be a pop wife?
I want to be a pop wife.
You could do it.
You know, I know that I'm not actually a polygamist, but I could pretend, right?
Sure.
Like, not everybody who works at the sex line operators are size zeros with kitten heels, not even kitten heels, stiletto heels and lacy underwear, red lipstick. Ratted hair. Fill in the blank.
Sounds like a dream job.
And how?
What's happening? Oh. You know what? We forgot.
What?
Our Mormon recipe.
Let's do it now.
Okay. I picked one for you this time.
Okay.
And because I'm not a monster like you, spotted dick, I picked one that sounds delicious, actually.
And you found something in the Mormon Trail cookbook that is delicious.
You be the judge, okay? You be the judge.
I'm just saying, I think that's a hard cry for help. Now, that would be unrealistic.
Just start getting your booze hole ready to decide what you're going to pair with it, okay?
Just impound this then.
It's called hash brown casserole.
Mm.
I've piqued your interest already, haven't I? It's frozen hash browns, margarine. Oh, well, we'll sub that with butter. Cream of mushroom soup. Cream of chicken soup, canned milk, salt, pepper, and shredded cheddar cheese.
How is that not funeral potatoes?
It basically is. But you use margarine instead of butter. There's no cornflakes.
It's lacking onion.
There's no onion in funeral potatoes?
There should be. The recipe I looked up did.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's because you cook it on an open fire out on the trail in the
It would ruin it if they were Oregon. Too raw-like.
Yeah. Anyway, sounds good, right?
Sounds
canned milk,
amazing.
Canned soup, frozen
potatoes. Oh, the canned milk is different. We don't do canned milk in funeral potatoes.
No.
And nothing
we don't do
else?
Hash browns either. We do
no
tater
sour
tots.
Cream?
Nope.
No green onion?
Nothing. That's
interesting.
It.
Okay. Well, I would pair that with nice Pilsner. Something light.
Mm-hmm. to balance out the margarine. When was the last time you heard margarine in a recipe?
Never. Fucking never. Because why would you do margarine when you have fucking butter?
Exactly. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that actually sounds like something we probably ate a lot.
Right? I was going to say, well, when we do our cooking show, spinoff of our podcast, we will be making that one for sure with some spotted dick for dessert.
Yeah, when Charlotte gets back from Mexico, we're going to use our TikTok to make you guys some videos of us making the Mormon recipes.
Can we throw flour at each other and laugh like we're having a really good time?
We sure can. The next thing you know, somebody's got a broken nose, bloody nose with the blood and the flour on their face.
How dare you?
All right, what do we got for stories? How are we going to entertain the people this week? I'm a little late on this. We should have done it in May. But I'm going to tell you the story of how I had to be rescued from an elevator in a building in San Francisco during Beta Breakers.
What's Beta Breakers?
It's I said it a little fast. It's Bay to Breakers.
Oh, okay.
It's a race, a foot race that happens in San Francisco every year. And actually, I was looking up some statistics on it, and I learned some things that I did not know about Beta Breakers. So the reason it's called Beta Breakers is it starts in the bay. It starts over in like the northeast corner of the city at the Embarcadero, and then it goes kind of through the city and then ends at the ocean, which is, you know, obviously different than the bay. Right. So that's the waves and that's the breakers. Right. Right.
Would the ocean be where Alcatraz is, or would that be the bay?
That's the bay.
Okay.
Yeah. The ocean is on the other side.
So when we came in on a cruise to San Francisco, we came in through the bay.
Into the bay. Yep. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. So this race goes through the city, ends at the Great Highway, and it's about 7.5 miles, and it generally has about, apparently it generally has about 50,000 people participating. I guess I was reading in Wikipedia that apparently that they set the record in 1986, the world record, for having the most participants in a foot race with 110,000 people participating that year, which has now been like broken by Sydney, Australia for some other race.
Right.
But essentially the whole thing is like, I'm sure, I know that there are people who actually take it seriously and who are like, who start, you know, and race the race and try to win the race. But the majority, I'm going to say of those 50,000 people, I'm going to say about 49,598 of them are there just to drink all day.
Yes.
And in true San Francisco fashion, you know, wear costumes, wigs, like outlandish, you know, as outlandish as you can possibly be. I think the race starts at like 6 o'clock in the morning or something crazy like that. So people are starting to drink that early. And yes, you just, you know, you basically just walk through the city. All the streets are shut down for the course.
Right.
And so this mob of costumed drunk people are just slowly meandering through the city of San Francisco. And it's a ton of fun. Some people just jump in and walk for a while and jump out. Some people do the whole thing. It's really great. And it's a tradition, you know, every single year. It's been happening since 1912.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a long tradition.
It's like a big deal. And so this one year in particular was very memorable. Because we happened to get stuck in the elevator. But so we're watching the race from a friend of ours, Mike and Alicia. They had a top floor apartment in Hayes Valley. It was really close to Alamo Square Park, which is, you know, you're a big fan of the So I Married an Axe Murderer movie filming sites. That's 100%. The one I took you there that's got the painted ladies. The opening from Full House.
Yes.
That's Alamo Square Park. So their apartment was really close to there.
For those who don't know, that is where Mike Myers broke up with his girlfriend because she thought that she was an ex-murderer. In that park. They broke up in that park.
So we're out on the balcony, and we're drinking as well. It's 8 o'clock in the morning at this point. Of course.
And like you do.
We're watching the people come through, looking at everybody's costumes, having a great time. And I remember there was one guy passed out over a bike rack. And, like, the bike rack's on the ground. You can see him very uncomfortably looking, passed out with his back arched over the back of it, wearing a obviously soiled diaper.
Oh, no.
Because you got to imagine with that many people, too, there's not a lot of places to pee.
Right. You know, so the diaper.
A lot of people kind of did that, which is so gross. And there was porta potties every once in a while, but not enough for 50,000 people
San Francisco
moving in a herd.
Gross.
You know what I'm saying? So we're brunching, we're champagneing, we're getting drunk in the morning, having a great time. And we decide, I think we were going downstairs to get into the race, you know, walk a little ways with the group. And we're all wearing costumes as well. And we get, a lot of these San Francisco buildings are super old, right? So these guys have an elevator in their building, and it's, I don't know when the building was built, but it's an old, you know, an old elevator. And there was probably, I'm going to say 8 people in the elevator. It wasn't, maybe 10. It wasn't super crowded, but it was definitely like probably over the capacity of what that type of elevator should have handled. And it was a little claustrophobic after a while. So we get in the elevator, we've all got drinks in our hands, and the elevator starts going down, and we're on the top floor, and it stops, I don't know, not very far down.
Right.
And we're all like, oh, that fucking sucks. We kind of wait a minute, hit the button, and it's one of the old, like, it's not a new elevator at all, it's like a, kind of a button, nothing's happening. We're like, fuck. You know, we try to, like, push open after a while. Right. So we've been in there for maybe like 15 minutes.
And how many people
minutes.
Were in there?
About, I think, anywhere from 8 to 12.
And how many people does it hold?
I don't know.
Okay.
We didn't look at anything like that when we got in the elevator drunkenly.
I'm just wondering.
So we're pulling the, we decide after being in there for about 15 minutes or so, and then, you know, somebody's on their phone calling like, hey, we're stuck in here. Pull open the door, and we realize we're stuck between floors.
Oh.
So you can see the, and it's just open just the tiniest bit. Like, we can't get it open very far.
Right.
But you can see, like, if I'm standing up, the floor is probably just right above my forehead.
Okay.
You know, so it's, I would have
to, maybe, like, a couple inches or how much space?
Maybe, like, right at my forehead.
Oh, okay. So 3 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It, just so you can get a visual of how, like, if I was to try to pull myself up, like, right. I'm lifting my whole entire body weight up from above over my head, you know.
But not enough space for you to, like, crawl out.
Oh, no. I'm only saying I can see the floor. I can't even get the doors. We can't even get the doors
open.
Well,
I'm just saying, if you could have gotten them open, you still couldn't have done that, right?
No, we couldn't.
I'm envisioning the beginning scene of Speed with Sandra Bullock.
Similar, but a very much older elevator than that. And we couldn't get the doors open. Like, we're just stuck in there. But we could see, we could get them open like a millimeter to see that the floor was right there. Okay. Does that make sense? I didn't mean to.
No, it does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a visual of it. But yeah, no, that is open maybe 2 inches.
Not even two inches. A millimeter.
Just seeing the light.
Just so we can see where the floor is.
Got it.
Yeah. Those doors are not opening at all.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Rude.
Some time goes by. One of the girls in the elevator with us was being incredibly dramatic. I'm going to have a panic attack. I'm dying. I have allergies. I'm just making it really miserable for all of us who are stuck in there.
Was she part of your group?
Yeah.
Pity.
The fur starts coming off. The wigs start coming off. The wings start coming off. You know, we're all starting to derobe because it's getting real hot in that motherfucker too.
Right.
And so I want to say we're in there for probably about 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so. When all of a sudden we hear the cavalry arrive and we can hear the firefighters outside of
which I'm sure they couldn't get through the traffic of all the fucking people.
Exactly. Right. Well, there's a lot of cops around too, so they can put a stop to it and get people through or whatever. So we hear the fire department, and they're trying to talk to us through the doors, and they're like, is everybody okay in there? Yeah, we're fine. The one girl's like, and we're like, calm down. Everything, yeah, we're fine. You know, we can hang. We're good. And you hear them out there rustling around. They're out there for another, I don't know, 10 minutes or so trying to figure it out. They can't, they're not able to do anything. They can't, there's no key. There's no fireman's key. There's no, like, the elevator's just old as fuck, right? Probably not up to code. And then that apartment probably cost, you know, $4,000 a month to live in at the time. But anyways, so we hear some instructions finally from the fire department, and the guy's like, okay, we're going to break through the doors. We need you guys all to get as far away from the doors as you can. You know, we're like, there's a lot of people in here. It's like, you just need, you know, turn your backs to the wall. There might be splinters or whatever, because the door is wood.
Right.
And he's like, just stay away from the doors as far as you can. So we all turn around, you know, we kind of like huddle up, branch out as far as we can. And all of a sudden you hear that axe just start chopping at the doors.
I bet they loved that too. The firemen, like, all sweet.
They literally took an axe and broke the elevator doors and chopped through them like fucking Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Nice. And they managed to, like, get enough, you know, do enough damage to it or whatever that they were able to pull the doors open enough for, like, people to fit through and get out. So now you imagine, so if you're standing up straight, I'm looking up at the firefighters. Maybe the floor was actually probably, like, a little closer to, like, chest level.
Right.
But there's no way. Even if I was, like, a thin person, I don't have any upper body strength. Right. I could never get out of there, you know? And so, like, some of the guys are going up first, and I'm, like, one of the last people to get out because, like, I'm scared to try. And also, I'm thinking of the movie Speed.
Right.
And a bunch of other movies where people get chopped in half when you start getting out of an elevator that's between floors. The elevator drops and chops you in half.
Of course, 100%. That's how it works.
Yeah. So, I'm terrified. I'm sure that's what's going through everybody's mind.
Right.
And it's, like, my turn to go. And I look up, and I'm not even making this up. This firefighter was so fucking hot. He was just, like, this muscly, sweaty, like, I almost thought he had, like, ashes on him from a fire that he just fought, even though I know he didn't. That's how I'm picturing him in my head. And he puts his arm out, and he's like, come on, it's okay, I'll help you. It's like, I grabbed his arm, and he just, like, I don't even know how, with, like, one arm, just single-handedly, like, lifted my body out of that elevator and pulled me up onto the floor.
Now I'd like to make love to you, Mandy.
Exactly. And then, yeah, and then we made sweet love in front of everyone else right there.
Jealous.
Yeah, so.
One hand. God, I need to start working out.
I'm sure he probably had somebody bracing him behind him or
that's
whatever.
That's the point. You still have to have all of that muscle to pull all you up.
Yeah, and I've got my feet, like, on the walls right. of the elevator, like, trying to walk up as he's pulling me up, you know.
Right.
So
that's helpful.
It was
that's why I need Sarah Connor arms.
It was amazing. It was an experience, and I can officially say that I've been saved by the hottest firefighter in San Francisco and crossed that off my bucket list.
Nice.
We never did make it to the race after that. I think we kind of sobered up.
Yeah, I could imagine that would be like, I just
need some fresh air.
We need some, yeah, fresh air. Lots of shots. I mean, I probably would have just started taking shots. And then I would have gone to sleep.
If I know us, which I do, that crew I was with Andrea.
Oh, yeah.
Cyrus was there. Hunter was there. Allison and Dave were there.
Of course.
I'm sure we went and did shots.
Yeah. We almost died. Let's go do shots.
I know there were some other people there too that I can't remember.
The one lady's not invited. Sorry, Miss Complainy, you can stay.
Yeah, she didn't handle that so well, but you know, she's a nice person.
Right. All right, picture it. We're in San Francisco. It's Tiffany's 30th birthday. We've all come into town to go watch Point Break live. That happens. You've heard that story. Now everybody's gone and it's just me and Mandy. I left a couple days later. Now you're going to have to fill in a lot of these blanks because I don't remember a whole lot. But it was the night before I was supposed to fly out. We went to a bar. We drank, I think that was the first time I drank like a martini. Like, I think we went and got Chinese food or something like that. Like, we did. We went to a really fancy, like, Chinese food because San Francisco has such amazing food.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Right? And yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, this is like really fancy. Because I was thinking, let's go get Chinese food. I'm thinking it was some shit hole in the wall. Like, mm-hmm. This is like a fancy Chinese food place. And then, like, well, let's go to the bar. You know, after dinner, we go around the bar and you're like, oh, do you want to get a martini? And I'm like, oh, well, I get like lemon drop martinis or like, you know, I like foo-foo martinis. She's like, no, like a proper like vodka martini. And I'm like, I think that was the first time I had, like, a vodka martini. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, that's a lot of booze. And you're like, no, it's fine. So we drink and we party. We have, like, three of them.
I wonder where I took you.
I don't even know. I was pretty, like I said, really drunk. I'm probably sure weird things happened that night. Nothing's really coming to mind except for the next morning. So it's like, we drink, we party, whatever. Go to bed. You had to go to work, so you left early. I had to take it's not the tube, it's whatever it is to get to the airport, the BART. So you're like, it's fine, just go down the street, whatever, homeless people will be fine to you. But like, I could not stop puking all morning. And I was like, oh, this is the worst hangover of my life. And like, this probably isn't even that great of a story because I was like, other than just being fucking miserable, like I drank Gatorade, puke it right back up, but it was like pink Gatorade. So like, this is before I knew about Pedialyte. So like, Pedialyte will save your fucking life. That's what you give children when they've got the flu. If you're hungover, Pedialyte's where it's at.
Fact, I can attest to that.
Right, so it was so such a long time ago that I thought Gatorade would help me. Pfft, stupid. Immediately threw all that up. But like, I shouldn't tell this story. Like, it was like a shit was coming out of my mouth of all of the rice from the fried rice I had eaten from the Chinese food. But it was like a perfect log had come out of my mouth. And that's all I could think of. I was like, I've just shit out of my mouth. It's not that great of a story, but that's what I think of when I think of San Francisco.
Is that the time when you went crawled in Lisa's bed naked?
That was a couple days earlier.
My roommate Lisa, my dear friend Lisa, she's like, Mandy, your sister's naked in my bed.
Listen, I had to get taken home from Point Break Live because I had done too many Scooby snack shots, and I was sleeping in Mandy's bed when I had pissed myself a little bit. Like, it didn't get in your bed, but it was just enough that I had to take my pants off. And so I got up, went to the bath, took my pants off, went to the bathroom, got turned around, and then went to Lisa's room instead of yours because I was that fucked up and didn't know where I was at. But that's why I didn't have any fucking pants on, was because I had peed myself a little bit. A lot, just a little bit. Girl, just a little bit.
I feel like a bad sister for letting you get that drunk.
Like, you could have fucking stopped me.
True.
No, I was like, there was a lot of hot actors, you know, acting out my favorite fucking movie. I just took a lot of fucking shots. Mm-hmm. It was great. I loved it.
San Francisco's great. I had a really good time living there.
I'm so surprised I got on that flight, though. I was like, I literally couldn't move. I was so... My flight didn't leave till like 3. Like, I was just like... all day. And I blame you and your fucking martinis.
I really wonder where I took you. There's a place that me and Andrea used to like to go in... where City Lights Books is.
Yeah, I don't fucking know that city. I avoid your fucking city like the plague because this is what it does to me.
It wasn't Martuni's, was it, with the piano bar?
I don't think so. Seemed more divey than a piano bar type place.
Oh, it was probably Blondie's. Was it Dark Mirrors?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Blondie's.
They probably didn't, but I thought that it had, like, bras. Like, it reminded me of the Swallows, like, because it was just, like, shit everywhere.
Oh, then that would probably be more like Kilowatt.
It was probably the fucking Kilowatt.
Oh, Kilowatt actually has a martini on their sign.
I'm guessing it was the fucking Kilowatt. Of course it was. Actually, that makes perfect sense. I haven't been to the Kilowatt a lot of times, but I've heard a lot of fucking stories.
There's another place, too, that's kind of in the neighborhood a little farther off called 500 Club. That we always used to go, and that had that same divey vibe too. And that
might have been it.
That was a martini on the sign.
Literally don't know. I was fucked. I was very fucked up.
Let's get in the car. Let's drive up to San Francisco. See if we can retrace our steps.
You know what? I'm down. We'll do it when I get back from Mexico.
San Francisco, we're coming back. Right. Get ready.
We were supposed to go do some of that stuff when we had gone on that cruise and stopped off there, but like. We're like, we have to get back on that boat.
Well, and listen,
ship.
Yeah, listen, the ship, when you have such a magnificent, like, structure in a part of the city where it's not supposed to be, like, all of a sudden you're in a high rise, like, that ship is tall. Right.
And, like, you get a view you won't ever get.
Yeah, that view was incredible.
And the drinks are free.
And the drinks are free. Like, it was floor-to-ceiling glass. Like, it was incredible. I love you, San Francisco, but, like, you know, paid a lot of money for that view. I'm going to enjoy it.
Right? I was just saying, we could always go back to San Francisco whenever. Like,
yeah, it's not that far.
Not driving my car, but I'll rent a car. Shit, that shit will get stolen.
Yeah. Should we wrap it up?
Should we go pack for your Mexico trip? Happy 1 year anniversary.
Happy 1 year. 52 podcasts, baby.
52. Now I'm going to need you to come help me pack.
I think I was thinking about how we can be excellent to each other, and I started to realize I don't know if this is being excellent to each other or just me being excellent to the world. You and I, sorry, being excellent to the world. You know how a while back we created all the gentlemen's genitals, social medias, email accounts. We need to do more with that. And we were like, we're going to do something great with this. And it's just been sitting there waiting.
For a year now. Shit.
Maybe. Maybe this is, you know how we've started the Jolene Wilder books?
Yes, yes.
Maybe.
The Charlequin novels.
The Charlequin novels. Maybe we should start using Gentleman's Genitals as a publication platform. That way I don't have to, like, because I start projects and I'll get going and then I'll just kind of let them drop for a while and then I'll get back into it. I'll get inspired again. So if I, maybe we release chapter by chapter on Gentleman's Genitals Twitter. Something like that.
That's good. I mean, we couldn't sell books when we give them away for free, but then again, we should just give things away for free so that, you know. Do you want to see how this ends? Buy the book.
If there's one thing I'm sure of, we didn't start this podcast to make money.
That's for sure. I like to pretend like we're gonna make money one day, but we all know we won't. This is self-fulfilling. Well, self-fulfilling, I don't know if that's accurate, but this is we said when my good friend David passed, I was like, I need to start like planning my funeral and doing the tapes so that I can make people sit and listen to me talk about myself for hours at my my wake or whatever. And you're like, you've already done that, Charlotte. You have a podcast.
Welcome to Charlotte's funeral. We are going to need you guys to sit for the next 120 hours and listen to every episode we've ever recorded.
Cheers. I had this idea when our grandpa died, like on Dad's side. And it was the first funeral I'd ever really been to. And I had, of course, I'm so selfish at funerals. And I like to believe that everybody else is too. That you only just think about your impending death, right? Like, yeah, you're sad that the person's dead and you're devastated. But then you just start thinking about your own mortality. And I think I was only like 17 at the time. But like, I was like, I need to start. I was like, I want there to be pictures of me everywhere. And I want everyone to like dress really like festive, and I want to start recording myself doing my own eulogy. And like, Charlotte was amazing. She was so kind and generous. Did I mention good looking? You are all gonna miss me so fucking much. And I thought it was so fucking funny, and I was like, I'm gonna do it. And then I forget until somebody else died, and then I was like, I gotta do that eulogy. I'm gonna fucking do it. But yeah, now cut to fucking 20 years later. I'm gonna do that eulogy as I abuse my liver every day.
Listener, if you would like to RSVP for Charlotte's funeral, send us an email at fhebadmormons@gmail.com. Yes.
If you have any good ideas for my funeral, you can go ahead and share it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever.
If you're enjoying our podcast, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and a rating?
It helps other people find us, listen to these ridiculous fucking stories.
And lastly, check out our website. We've got cool merch, we've got cool stuff, we've got funny stories, and it's actually a pretty goddamn cool looking website, unlike Donald Trump's blog.
Fucking loser. Yeah, thanks guys. Thanks to our patrons, man. You guys are fucking cool.
We love you, patrons. We love you the most. You're our favorite children.